the scriptures and read. We want to welcome you all in the house of God today. Your brother Brian here with us. We want to make you feel welcome also. So glad you come in. He desired that, and God gave him the desire of his heart to be here at least for Holy Night service. And we really appreciate all the help he has been to us. Amen. I don't know how much of the Christmas things he was able to get. You just come in for leftovers, but amen. Trust that. Nevertheless, it's better to be home in the sunshine than to be out in the cold. Amen. I would like to read, you know, it's just coming this morning and just felt the Lord just turning things around. He's always walking on thin ice sometimes. When you study and your mind set in a certain direction, then you come in and you just feel the Holy Spirit lead you different. But this is what our Christian life is, to follow the Holy Spirit, to be led of the Lord. And I just was jotting a few notes in the car and just changed around everything. Just felt that it would be appropriate to talk to this church a little bit, especially we come down to the end of the year and, you know, we have gone through so much and we don't want these things to slip by. It's just services, but we want to capture what we feel, the direction and the will of the Lord is concerning us at this time, and where we could pause and have these thoughts, really what we have covered and the places that we believe that he have directed us, that it could be so clear before us. So I'll just try to maybe take my time and talk to you a little bit. I'd like to read out the Leviticus chapter 1 and Romans 12. You know, when the Lord is dealing with us as a church, as a people, and especially believe that we are in a definite line, you know, concerning his coming, the nearness of his coming and these things, and we are walking into a place where he's shining light in the word to give us understanding, and these places we have not really passed before. His new, his mercies are new every morning. We would just want to make sure we are having a close fellowship with the Holy Spirit concerning these things. That's my constant burden, to know that we are grasping these things and catching the meaning and what the Lord have in his heart and mind concerning us as he reveals it out of the word to us, and it serves the purpose it is intended for by the grace of God. Leviticus chapter 1, last week I was speaking about out of Exodus come Leviticus, so I trust that, you know, you remember I was saying Leviticus is a book that was given to them and opened up to them after the prophet came off the mountain, came up to the cloud, after he saw how God was going to dwell among the people and how the people in their relationship with God were to progress in the purpose of God. And we would like to read here, because this book Leviticus, if you notice, is sort of a word that comes out of Levi. The first part of the word is Levi, L-E-V-I, and Levi was the priesthood. That's where the priesthood came from, and God called them, and the first word here, it says, and the Lord called. That's where the book is got its meaning, because Leviticus means and the Lord called. But in that calling, you know, God called a priesthood. God called, but by election and calling, that God chose Aaron and his sons to be the priests out of Levi. And the Lord called unto Moses, God calling his prophet here, and spoke unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd. Let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will. At the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And watch this, because all of this is specific, is instructive. And it says this had to be offered voluntarily. It had to be a male without blemish. And the worshiper who is coming before God must put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him, because he's identified with it, and it's a sacrifice without blemish. So it can stand in the stead of the worshiper before God, bearing the sins of the worshiper. The worshiper's sin is transferred to it, and the righteousness, the innocence is transferred to the worshiper. All of this is in time. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's sons shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. That's the brass altar. That's where the sacrifice was killed. Because shed blood is a sign of a life given. You know that. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into its pieces. And to flay it means to skin it. To expose the insides so that you can know it is without blemish inside as well. Not just looking to be without blemish on the outside. You know, there's an age where everybody is trying to make sure they have no blemish outside. Somebody see a little pimple, they have a little scar, some little defect, they feel so self-conscious, they're so sensitive about it. And they try to use everything, all kind of cream. Science have all kind of cosmetic surgery. They want the outside to be so free from blemish, to correct whatever defect that they have. And many times they don't take the same pains to make sure the inside is free from blemish. But God was very particular. Even like Jesus said, God don't look on the outside, you look at the inside. And he says inside was white and sepulchre, full of dead men's bones. Outside they cleaned the plate, but the inside it was dirty. And so here in the offering, the sacrifice, it is showing us that Jesus couldn't just be a man on the outside without blemish, but the life on the inside, because the life is more than the body. He taught these things. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, which speak of the thoughts, and the fat, which is the richest and strongest, the best parts of the sacrifice, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But its inwards and its legs, and the inwards speak about the affections and the desires, and the legs speak of the walk. So all these parts of the sacrifice were specially divided, and special attention had to be given to each part. It's a sacrifice. It is being offered on behalf of the worshiper, so the worshiper's sins could be atoned for, and the worshiper could be reconciled to God, having communion and fellowship with God. This is what the worshiper was being accepted in his sacrifice. That's what Ephesians tell us. We have redemption in his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And we are accepted in the beloved. He laid down his life for us. So now this is helping us to understand
how Christ had to meet certain requirements in order that we can truly be reconciled to God. Because when we come back to God, our thoughts have to be right. Our desires have to be right. Our walk have to be right. The Bible says, love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. In all these things, we have to come back and be perfected. You see, so if our sacrifice didn't meet that, we're going to be standing here in a filthy condition as far as our thoughts are concerned. Our desires could be just of the world and on the things of the flesh. Our walk could be walking influenced by the ungodly. And then when coming to the things of God, we use up all our strength in our selfish motives and objectives to achieve things for ourselves. And when come to serve the Lord, well, we have an excuse. Well, I'm tired. Well, I don't have time for this. Well, you're not too hard. Can't somebody else do that? Because we have no time and no strength and no energy for the things of God. But if the Holy Spirit come back in our life, He's going to deal with your thoughts. He's going to deal with your desires. He's going to deal with your walk. He's going to deal with your service for God. You understand that? Because the sacrifice covered these places and had to meet these needs. Because this is where the man fell. When Eve leaned on her own understanding, when she reasoned and she exalted her own thinking above the word, and she didn't stay with the word, and she leaned on her own understanding, she fell into the carnal mind. When Adam followed his wife and forfeited his rights to the word to follow her who was influenced by the serpent, he fell from a spiritual mind to a carnal mind. When Eve saw the tree was good for food and desired to be unwise, the inward was corrupted. The desires became self-centered and fleshly and carnal and temporal, and she laid aside the eternal things of God. So where they fell into, for them to come out of it, God had to bring a sacrifice whose desires could be right, whose thoughts could be right, because you have to atone for them. You see, when we use the word atonement for sin, that's just a general word. But where is the sin? Where does sin begin? In the thoughts. Where does lust come? In the desire. It conceives in the thought. You see it, you desire it. You learn lust after it. And it bringeth forth sin, and sin bringeth forth death. James tells you that, showing you the cause of sin. The battleground is in the mind, that's where it starts. So watch, the sacrifice had to be meet specific needs. It wasn't a sacrifice. It was something to meet the needs of man where he was lacking before God. Because when God made the man, he didn't make him with a carnal mind. When God made the man, he didn't make him with a filthy desire. He made him in his image and likeness. But the man fell into that. And when God himself came, who was the perfect man, his complete desire was for the Father. Not my will, but thy will be done. My will is to, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me to finish his work. He lived completely for the fulfilling of the word. Is that right? So that's why many times when we fail to get specific in this, we kind of go along and we're not looking at the places in our life where we are weak and where we are failing and where the enemy is breaking our link with God and where he's overpowering us and where we get condemnation. We get condemned because of the kind of thoughts that fill our minds sometimes. We get condemned because of the kind of desire in our hearts many times. We get condemned because we see of how little service we render for God, but how much time we spend for ourselves. So a little self-crucifixion and self-sacrifice in our own life. When we see what Jesus was, and we have to be like him. And when his very life come back in us, his life wouldn't take us away into selfishness, because his life was laid down for the will of the Father. And his life in us would make us lay down to fulfill the very word. Because the Holy Spirit will not go after flesh. The Holy Spirit will stay with the word. Holy Spirit could never lead you away from the word. It will always lead you to the word. It will convict you. you of sin, if you want to stray, then you grieve that spirit. It can vex you and tell you, you're going wrong, you're going wrong, you're going wrong. And when you won't listen, the Holy Spirit flies away like a dove, because you grieve it away, it leaves you. So watch the sacrifice. Understand how it was designed to meet the need. That's why these specific things are being given, because they're showing us if it's a whole burnt offering, unreserved consecration, everything is being offered to God. So it shows us where we need to offer to God. You get that? It's not like I serve God. No, no, we have to come closer than that. But Jesus died for me. The blood was shed for me in my atonement. We have to come closer than that. We had to come to the place. Why was that necessary? Because I will have desires I'll have to fight with in this life. But if I see that perfect desire was accepted for me, and I can yield to that, then that desire will come into me. Then my ambitions, my objectives, my aims in life would be the same that he had. If his meditation was sweet before God, if he dwelt in the word and he abode in the word, and I'm going to ask what he will, and say, Father, I know you hear me always, then our meditation will be simply the mind of Christ will be in us. And that same head will be here in us, because we become him. You understand that? You want a deeper life? That's what we're striving for. Is that promise in this hour? Is that the token? Is that the reality? When we say token, we just mean, well, not the life of God. But when we break that down, what does the life of God do? Where does it control you? Where does it lead you? How do you identify that that's the same life? We have to get specific, because God is doing a specific work. And that's why you must know how your sacrifice met your need. So if you lack something, you know what you can draw from him. Verse 9, but its inwards and its legs, the desire, the affection, the walk. That's why the word says, walk worthy of your vocation. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Walk not in the vanity of mind. Walk not after the course of this world. Walk before me and be perfect. God continually speaks about your walk in the scripture. God continually speaks about our desires. Let your affections be set on things above. See? And the priest shall burn all. The priest shall burn all. The head was consumed. When you look for the head, there was no more head. It was only ashes. The feet was consumed. Look at the feet. There was no more feet. It was only ashes. Everything was reduced to ashes. In other words, the fire of God consumed it so completely, it all went up to God. Could you imagine if your whole desire is for God this morning? Could you imagine if your walk is completely for God? The world, Satan, have no place in you. He ain't influencing you here. He ain't influencing you there. You ain't coming back with muddy feet all the time. Over and over and over, you can walk before God and be perfect. You ain't wiggling off the road no more. You don't have no more lame feet. Your feet is healed. It's straight in the path. You're walking in the rhythm of the gospel on what Christian soldiers. Amen. You're walking in the fulfillment of the prophecy for this hour. Anointed. Amen. The mind of Christ in you. The desire, a holy man taste, to see the word confirm in your life. Hallelujah. Think of what it can be for us this morning. Amen. Ask him for you. While the scripture is being read, let him make that real in your heart. Amen. To be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Very familiar scripture. Everyone knows that. Just want to talk to you a little bit this morning. Romans 12. Paul writing here in the book of Romans, this great book of Romans. John, the apostle, the eagle. Though it wasn't the first book that Paul wrote, the first epistle. Thessalonians was really first. But John, when he's putting together, put this first.
Because in Romans revealed the need of man before God for righteousness. Romans showed that how Jews was guilty, Gentiles guilty, the world was guilty. But how God comes and calls a man, how God justifies him, brings him all the way to his change. So Romans comes first. It shows where sin comes into by one man. Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You are priests. You are called to offer sacrifice. And you, as a priest, bringing your body as a sacrifice, because you're conscious that your body is the purchased possession. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. The blood purchased you. Amen. See, Christ purchased that. Now you present your body. Notice, your body is a sacrifice, and it's what? For service, which is your reasonable service. Bodies, sacrifice, service. Watch the thought of Paul here. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's His will concerning you. And that's you bringing yourself in submission to this will when it's revealed to you. Why did He purchase the church? That He might sanctify and dwell in it. Is that right? Redeem it unto Himself. That's His house. That's His temple today. And when you understand that, then you don't be conformed to the world, because you know you've been separated and set apart by God for service. Amen. May the Lord bless you. You know His word. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would just overshadow us now with your divine presence. We have come in your house today feeling, Lord, that you directed me to just speak to the people, and this is what I'm doing, Lord. The few scriptures I jot down in the car, I pray, dear God, that your mind would come down, since I don't know what you want to say or what you want to do or how you want to go, but just what came to me, Father. Walk in here, Lord, by faith and trusting in your never failing presence, Lord. Your great leadership that have led me down through these years. Speak, Lord, the things we have need of. Help me to yield and submit to you right here in this desk. And God, that as your word would come forth, not only would it feed our souls here, but those out in the islands that get the tape. And dear God, may your direction as we come to the end of this year. And God, another cycle of time is running out, and we are moving into another phase, dear God. Remember, David says in the Psalms, help us to apply our heart to wisdom. Teach us, Lord, to understand, to measure our days upon the face of the earth. Because, Lord, man is like a flower that comes in the morning and wither away and fades in the evening. It dies. And so, dear God, we realize that your Lord is so much time, so much space. How we need the leadership of God to make proper use, Lord, of the time that you've allotted us and the purpose that you've sent us in the earth for, and the things that you are revealing to us. Help us, dear God, to walk in these things, to grasp it, to understand it, that we can benefit and draw the strength it is designed to bring to us at this time. May you grant all these things, Father. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. May I have a seat. Amen. Well, I'm walking by faith here a little bit, so maybe just while I have you fresh in your mind, read a couple more scriptures to sort of develop these thoughts. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Pick a couple places out of Philippians and a couple other places and sort of bring the an idea of how how this great sacrifice is applied to us. We are the Philippians 1, chapter 2. Now, many of you who have been assembled for a while, you know, we've gone through Philippians, we spoke on many things here, and Philippians is an epistle written by Paul to the church in Philippi. And if you remember the church in Philippi, in the book of Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas went to Philippi and that demon was cast out of the girl who had the spirit of divination, and they threw them in prison, how they beat them, and the Philippian jailer, you know the story. At midnight, Paul and Silas was praising God. Then the Holy Spirit began to shake the jail down, open the prison doors, all the chains fall off of the people. And when the prison officer came, he thought that the prisoner had escaped and is about to commit suicide, because he didn't want to face the responsibility to the Roman government for a jailbreak. And so Paul says, you know, don't do yourself no harm, we are all here. And then Paul testified to him, he cried out, what shall I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and in your household shall be saved. You know the story, he went to their home early that morning, in the wee hours of the morning. He washed their wounds, he dressed them, and he and his household was baptized. And so out of there, the church in Philippi had started. Then Paul received a gift from them, and when they sent this gift for him, a monetary gift, he wrote this epistle thanking them for the gift, because in the gift that they gave to him, Paul saw the gift that God gave to us. You get that? Because the Philippians holds one of the great revelations in the Bible. Philippians chapter 2 tells us how God became of no reputation, how he became a man, how he became a servant, how Jesus stooped so low. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and how he took the form of a servant and was obedient unto death. But then how he was raised up so high. And Paul showed the principle of humility and exaltation. He who has humbled himself so low and become obedient to the death of the cross, he was exalted so high and was given a name far above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee must bow and every tongue confess. And that's where the prophet brought that great revelation. That's where you get enmorphy out of in the Bible, in the air, how he changes mass from spirit to man to come to die. He made himself of no reputation, is the word there, where he enmorphy, and he became a man so he could taste death for us, and he became obedient to the death of the cross. And so Paul there also, through that, in Philippians chapter 3, where we have his great testimony of how he's a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and all those things was gained to him, he counted loss. He was of a Pharisee, blameless, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness of the Lord, blameless, circumcised the 8th day. But all those things that he had as righteousness from the law, he counted dung that he might know the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because here he's giving testimony. He's opening up this in the book of Philippians. And all these great truths in Philippians, look how it came forth to a little church that the apostle was instrumental in establishing in that day. And look, for that church to be established, they were beaten, falsely accused, thrown into prison. And as a believer with the Spirit, you look at your experiences. And the way a relationship developed with the people, it caused you to see the handiwork of God in doing that. That's why we talk about this church. Just like the church in the Bible, the Corinthian church was established a certain way too. God said, don't fear no man. I have many people in that city. And God gave him a vision.
And that church in Corinth came by divine revelation. You know, he's waiting there. He met Aquila and Priscilla. And then you go to different places where different churches were established. When he went to Ephesus and he preached, and 50,000 pieces of silver in books and magical arts, and these were burned. When God did special miracles and shook up the place by the gospel. That's why you see how the church start in Grenada. How it start in St. Vincent. How it start in Tobago. How this church start. You realize when you find the genesis, you find the root. You see what was in the thoughts of God. If these churches is planted by the Lord and is planted by the rivers of water and is bringing forth its fruit in due season, then you know it's the Lord's planting. Then it was in the thoughts of God. Then you're going to see that church bringing forth spirit-filled sons and daughters of God who will live for God, who will manifest the word for the age. Why? Because just like the couples that was here with the children just now, they have a family. They're raising the family. They have offspring. God brought the union. God is giving offspring. It's the same with the church. Because it's a church family. And if God plants a church, then out of the womb of that church, God will give birth to sons and daughters. That's why for us here, church is not a protractive thing. You have to tell evangelists. They have a congregation out in cyber world, out in TV world. They have a congregation out there. There are people who watch the program, who support what they do, who believe in them. When they stand there praying, they be praying for all the supporters. They hold the envelopes and they instruct the people what to do and to be a covenant partner for what. And they have all the schemes and the gimmicks. You have denomination. They have all the different things that they build a place. A man wants to have a ministry, congregate some people, he get them under influence. If you have nowhere to take them, he get gimmicks to learn how to hold them, how to keep them, how to get them cultured, so he can keep getting the support from them. But when you look in the Bible and you see the church in Rome, the church in Corinth, the church churches in Galatia, the church in Corinth, you see the church in Ephesus, the church in Colossae, the church in Philippi. You can look back in the scripture and see how these churches started. You see when they went to Thessalonica, how the church started. You see when they went to Ephesus, how the church started. When they went to Philippi, you see how the church started. And you see how these churches started out of nothing. And then afterwards, while you see how the church is started in the book of Acts, you read the epistles afterwards. He's writing the epistle to the Romans. Why? There's a church in Rome. He's writing the epistle up to the Philippians because they're church in Philippi. How did that church in Philippi start? The same one who writing to them, the same one who had went there and preached to them and bring them out. At one time, they didn't have the gospel there, but he went forth bearing precious seed. He went forth sowing a former rain, planting the word. Why? Because he had met the pillar of fire. He was a commissioned servant. He was a light to the Gentiles. He was sent to establish them churches. And that is what followed the ministry of the Son of Man. When Elijah came at the end of the Old Testament, John with the spirit of Elijah, who forerun the first coming, and revealed the word, the Messiah, the Lamb. These churches was being raised up to walk in that truth. Because these men were preaching that truth. That's how that we have seen Elijah coming for in the second coming. We have seen the same Lamb revealed in the form of the word, the message of the seven seals. And we have seen the same spirit sending forth men to establish churches in the earth to walk in that truth. And as you look at these things, you see is the Lord's planting. And these churches have problems. These churches drifted. They got error. They got things sowed among them. They got people. Paul had people coming to the Corinthians saying, you know, you get divorced. Had people coming to them, you know, there's no more resurrection. Had people in Galatians telling them you gotta be circumcised. People was coming constantly attacking these churches. And so many times he had to send Timothy, he had to send this one. He had to do this. Why? To shake the people back to the word. Because this one drifting off over here. This influence coming in here. It oppressing the people. It causing the heart between two opinions. The Hebrews, under persecution, they wanted to go back to the old system they come out of. And you constantly have to keep them in line with the word. Because when a man plants seed and a crop coming up, you have all kind of buzzards want to attack that. You have all kind of weevil. You have all kind of insects want to come. You have to spray that thing. You have to prune it. You have to cultivate it if he's going to get a crop. It's a battle to bring it to seed. And that's why the church is growing up now. Aren't we growing up? We are no baby church no more. We ain't trying to wonder this or that, or this right or that right, or what is happening. No, we are growing up. We become seasoned. We have ministers establishing the word. They know what the truth is. They know what the message is. We have deacons and trustees who have served for years and years and years, and they become mature, and they prove their faithfulness, and they prove their strength and their standing and the support for the word to guard and defend the work. And we see the work grow and grow and grow. And we see it grow beyond our borders. We've seen young men raising up, catching the word, coming to a ministry, beginning the place. And the gift begin to be defined that now they can be used in different type of service. We have seen the young ones growing up who is born in the assembly, coming up, and they're coming up there, growing, and they're catching the word, and they're catching faith, and they're taking a stand, they're coming to deep conviction. Amen. And we have seen that. And like we have this service on the hill where we have a special group age there that go into the battles and in the storms of life and the crossroads, and we have them assigned with special personal care and attention. Why? To make sure that they come through that, to make sure they get what they're supposed to get, to bring them to a place where the place can be defined. Why are we doing that? Because this message we have received shows us we are in the coming of the Lord. And we have not been stagnated, because God, by his grace, has never failed to unfold the truth. Can we say amen to that, if that's right? But there's more truth than we can even take. Because that's God's plan. Was the spirit of truth supposed to follow the ministry of the Son of Man? Was it supposed to lead and guide into all truth? Was that inside teacher supposed to teach you further on the truth that was spoken by the prophet? That's right. Because he was planting seed, but those seeds have to be cultivated. Those seeds have to be brought out. He was mining diamonds, but they have to be cut. Amen. To shine the light, to show, look what he's talking about. Look what he's talking about. Look what he means here, to bring the glory of that truth out. And we've seen that. And we know we are people, sure, we have a lot of things to take care of still and grow out of, and things are going to drop and fall off. But we are moving forward. We are moving forward. And this last year has been like a bumper year for us. I mean, we couldn't come to a service without the Holy Spirit breaking for truth in such a way. Send us out in the field. Send us out, you know, in different places. Overseas. In our own Caribbean field. And outside the Caribbean field. And we have seen the Holy Spirit move. We have seen miracles. We have seen things happen. Sure. Confirming this word. People catching faith. People understanding. Church becoming consolidated. When we have a situation and we say, we call for people to stand here, people can respond to the call of duty. Why? It's a sign that they are involved, they are participating, they are understanding, the roots are going deep, they are receiving strength. And that's a great thing when you see that. And here, as we look at this little scripture I was reading there, how in Romans and Leviticus Paul speaking, now coming to Philippians here,
another church, just like us. I was making those comments so you can see church is not just congregating people. You can see you are part of something that is happening in the revealed world. And they give the apostle a gift, and that gift, when they gave it to him, he began to write this thanking them for the gift. And I want to read in verse 12, Philippians 2 here. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. And I believe we see some of that too. Coming forth out of the church. That people now receiving strength, they can obey even when you're absent. Because people begin to recognize their role and the responsibility. They begin to understand they are part of a whole, and they know the need of every member. They begin to grow in their understanding that we are members that make up a body. And look at the apostle, he's commending them for that. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Both to will, God's desire for you, and to do, to fulfill that, his will, of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, children of the Lord, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Any man who has been given seed to plant, he don't want to labor in vain. And if you know he's planted the word, then his joy is when he sees that word coming forth from the people. And that's what he's telling them here. That I have not run in vain nor labored in vain. Because a man puts his life and his energy and his time into that work to bring forth fruit for his master, who gave him those seeds to go and plant. This is the part I want to get here. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. What does he mean here? I read for you out of Leviticus 1 about the offering of sacrifice, and out of Romans 12 the offering of sacrifice. And Paul is showing a principle in the life, what our life is and what our service is to God. For it to be from a divine source, we have to see it first by divine revelation what it is. What motivates us to do something? So he is speaking to them, letting them know, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. Their faith led them to make a sacrifice when they sent a gift to him. And there was rendering a service to him who had labored for them. The verse before, he said, lest I labored in vain. Now he's talking about his labor. Now he's talking about their service and sacrifice. And he's saying that I am offered upon this. You see, there's a principle in the things of God. And that's why many times, you know, people leave a church here and go there and come to church and they sit down and they're watching. Because they're still in the realm of the world. They have not yet seen. Let me break it down for you. You can never, ever have a real identification with the word here if you don't know you are called by God to serve here. If you do not know and is convinced, and you bring it down to a place of a settled place in your life and say, no, God led me there. God revealed to me the ministry I should be under. God showed me my place in the assembly. Your service to God will just be like a dumb ox doing something. If you have time, if you don't have time, Well, it depends on what mood you're in. But I ain't doing that. Not a lot of people that can do that. I can't do that. God called me for that, and people talk all different ways. Because why? If there's a body, you have to be. How a body is formed? It is starts from a single cell. And you have to be part of that by predestination to come out of it. When you watch a tree grow, that tree that grew up there, don't be adding on roots, branches externally. Everything it put out was originally in the seed. Is that right? You are God building, you are God cultivating field. When an architect draws a plan for a house, every nail, where a nail supposed to be, where a screw supposed to be, where wood supposed to be, tile supposed to be, brick supposed to be, galvanized supposed to be, that is already in the plan. That is drawn and settled by the architect. Even though it don't even have that kind of tile, or it don't even have that kind of a doorknob, and he draw that, they're going to get a foundry to make that, because it's a specially designed house. It's not subject just to what is available out there. Well, when God is building his church, it wasn't just subject to what is available. God was predestinating people to be in the church in every age. If it's the foot age, God predestinated his seed to be in that age. If it's a hand age, God predestinated his seed to be in that age. The church was a growing body, and the members were chosen and predestinated unto the adoption before the foundation of the world. That's the principle of the church. Local, dispensational, national. It's just so much elect in one nation. It's just so much elect in one local assembly. And God predestinated that. You see, when we get to the scriptures, we're out of human thoughts. Because the scripture is God thoughts. And Paul ain't writing as a human being, because it becomes the Bible. This is God thoughts. But God thoughts is being revealed in a simple way. He is using some language here. He's saying, if I be offered unto sacrifice and the service of your faith. He saw their service and their faith as a sacrifice. He saw the life that was coming. It wasn't coming by commandment. It was voluntary service. It was a free will. It was motivated by love. Because that was a church. That wasn't a denomination. That was a church planted in the revealed word. They knew God so loved that he gave Jesus Christ. They knew Jesus Christ became poor that they could become rich. They knew that he was the servant. They knew that the church was the body of Christ. They had those truths. Because there was in the present message of the hour. Just like you know it today. If you're doing something and it's not motivated by love, that God so loved it in this age that he revealed the Son of Man so our church can be called a darkness to walk in the marvelous light. He opened seven seals so we can know we are kings and priests redeemed back unto God again. Without that, we denomination could never know the reality of those things. We might quote the scripture, but there's no real insight, because this can't be denominational priest. Have to be the word after the order of Melchizedek. So same way you establish in the present truth, you know these things. So he was writing to a church he had planted. He was writing to somebody else's church. He was writing to a church where he taught the word. So they could understand his language. They knew that the life can't be a mechanical life. Can't be pressure. Well, I'm going to look bad if I ain't do this. Well, I look bad if I ain't do that. No. He know they understood that the same life of Christ was in them. The Holy Ghost had come back. And living out the same identified Christ of all ages was now being identified in them in the Alpha Bride. They knew that. And he saw his life was an offering to them. The word there mean literally poured out as a drink offering. A sacrifice. He poured his life for them people. They could say, Paul, you poured your life for us. You just live, sleep, eat, breathe this church. You concerned about us. You deny yourself for us. We see you come an old man before us. We see you slave for us.
We see the day we're standing in the word. We know the truth. We know our position. We know the mystery. All hell on the outside. But we are moving forward because you lay down the lies and you point out for us. We see all for yourself. They didn't know him after the flesh. Then they understood him in the word. Hallelujah! He was not a man who could preach to them. No. He was a man who was God so loved them, he gave. God so loved them, he gave him to them. Because if they didn't have a man who was going to sell out his life for them, they can't make it. You show me which bride church can make it if they don't have a shepherd that can lay down his life for the sheep. You tell me that's a principle in redemption. The shepherd has to lay down his life for the sheep. That's a principle in redemption. Hallelujah! The Bible principle back from Genesis all the way in the last days. Hallelujah! I like the following. I have a 54-page message. I'll put aside in the car, get a pen, and write a few, just write a few scriptures. I like the following. I believe in following him. You know what's caused that? I know ambition of my own. I have no axe to grind, I have nothing to prove. I just know to follow him, to rely and depend upon him. Because I want what he has. I don't want to go where I want to go. I want to go where he wants to pass me. He knows where the thing is, amen. Hallelujah! They knew that church started with him being beaten and falsely accused. Just like Jesus was falsely accused, beaten and imprisoned. So they could see God's love for the church, how it started. Now, what about them people didn't know the history of the church? What if that was only a geographic location to attend? That's why sometimes people come to train that from away. Here don't have this, here don't have that. Oh, it's a tough hop. It's so humid. They have no identification with here. They are not behind what makes here unique. Nationally speaking. That some people could go another country to and rate the other country and then condemn their own country. And yet the country could have more virtue in a lot of things in that country. But they rate them for the maybe bigger buildings, more availability of clothes and other things, but not virtue. Because they get caught in their influence. But that's how a natural mind is judged. But a spiritual mind don't judge so. A spiritual mind, but they judge in a spiritual way. It is observe the thing. It is analyze the thing. Look at the nature of the thing. What it is. And it give righteous judgment. Amen. And so, when we look here and you see a church, people in assembly, when they know the history, it is more than a geographic location. People come around here and say, I like all of the church. Ooh, you know, it's so nice. I like the trees. Ooh. And they get more taken up with the tree, the grass, how it beautifies, than the people. And realize that is only one little aspect of how unique the people really is. Because that comes forth from the people. And this church is not about the buildings, it's about the people. Because these stones are cut and fitted in the building. This is something that's been built. These people have a history. That is why they're still standing today and growing stronger and again weaker. They're growing stronger. Any weaker again is human weakness, where God's strength can be perfected in them. But the people pressing for a promise. When you come among them, they're singing about a promise. They're talking about a promise. They're fellowshipping about a promise. They're pressing towards a promise. Amen.
I'm going to give my title in a little while. I'm going to which the scripture I'm taking it from. The sweet savor of Christ. But I'm coming towards it. So yea, and I, if I be offered, he is letting them know our life here and our relationship and our association have the same principles of the sacrifice of Christ. It is the mystery of Christ's life, which was that sacrificial life to redeem man, which was the expression of God's love. God so loved that he gave this. It is that same principle now in us living out through us. He said, your faith and your service is a sacrifice. And I too am offered on the sacrifice of your service and your faith. So both of us sacrificing in our way for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Because we are living our lives in this, not just on a human Trinidad level, but this, what we are doing in our interaction or relationship with each other is coming because the revelation of Christ's life that was laid down for us is being exemplified again now in his church. To prove the same life is in the church. Because Jesus said, as I have loved you, so love one another. But in him laying down his life, it wasn't that man come and say, okay, well, don't kill me. I want to let people go free. No, it was a sacrifice. It was a burnt offering. It was a peace offering. It was a meal offering. It was a sin offering. It was a trespass offering. It was the ashes of the red heifer. That life was being lived by law. It was living by the law of a kinsman. The law and duty of a kinsman. It was a life being lived at the highest level, and the most notable principles of God was expressed to reveal that this is not carnal nature, this is not human man, this is divine nature, this is God life, this is the richness of the virtue of Christ being revealed. Like Christ is the mystery of God revealed. This God who is a mystery fountain of seven spirits is a mystery, but he was made visible in Jesus. Every move that Jesus made reflected God, and every move you make is a faith move, is a faith act, is inspired, is divine, is the expression of the same life. Because I am the vine and you are the branches, and the branch is manifesting the life that's in the vine. The very same like God above us, God with us, and God in us. Same God condescending. Jesus was a sweet savor. We are a sweet savor to one another, to God, because we are a real sacrifice offered unto God. A sweet savor offering made by fire. Holy Ghost fire that come from above. We are people who are interested in holding our thoughts together. That when we do something, we have the mind of Christ. When we speak as oracles of the word. When we think, our affections and certain things above, we meditate in the word. Amen. We are people, we know God are just watching the outside. We want to watch the inside. What kind of motive? Why am I saying that? What is my objective? Am I deceiving somebody? Am I trying to manipulate somebody? Am I inflating somebody's ego to get their attention so I can have control over them? What is my motive? Not just what I said, how it's sung, where it's coming from. What am I on the inside? Is my inwards washing water? Amen. Is it pure motive? Then I can be justified in what I'm asking for. And no more than an objective. I can have faith and expect God, because I know God see my heart and God see my motive. We are people that live that way. Why? Because we are under the same law of sacrifice. We are under the same law of redemption. We know where it takes to please God. We are lining up with the word, because we know it's not by might, by power, by God's spirit. We want God's favor. We want God to come in and identify. Amen. If I love my brother and I'm saying, Father, bring him out of that condition, and God look and see his son again, Jesus, standing there, loving the brother. Brother, will it deliver his life for him? God, come and answer prayer. Amen. Because God see the same life, and I can only stand there when I understood how he stood for me. Because everything he did was planned to reveal God. Everything he said was planned to reveal God. Everything he sacrificed was planned to unveil the heart of God. It wasn't just a normal life. He was revealing the Father. No man know the Father save the Son, who was in the bosom of the Father. He had revealed the Father. Father, I've declared thy name. Father, I've manifested thy name. Father, I'm bearing thy name. Hallowed be thy name.
He was living out the life. He was God in Christ, walking in his feet, speaking through his lips, thinking with his mind, believing with his heart, working with his hands. Every move he made was reflecting God. And that same God that come down, Tabernacle Emmanuel, God with us, that same God Kinos changes mask into bright form, into the form of the church in this hour. Is that right? God in us, acting out the same life, and they took note that they had been with Jesus. Hear the apostle, how he's speaking. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and the service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. Both of us rejoicing, because both of us living in harmony with this Christ. Christ ministering to you and you ministering back to Christ. You guys are what form he's in. Whether it's in a form of a brother, a sister, auntie, or uncle, a stranger, whatever form he is in. Amen. The life is being expressed, is radiating, expressing Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, watch. He's the most sacrifice. But watch in the simplicity of the gift that they were giving, watch how he is bringing this out. Verse 15, Philippians 4, 15. And you must study the word. It's a great thing when you can study it. Let's read on verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. He's telling the church, notwithstanding, you have well done. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did share with my affliction. He noticed the attitude when they recognized, when they heard of his need. Could you get that? God, when he saw man need in the garden, man separated from God, and man trying to meet his need with a fig leaf, and God come down, and God recognized that could meet my need. It's going to take shed blood to meet my need. When God had to bear the punishment of his own law, when he had to come and take the penalty and the judgment for the very own sin to meet that need, he was willing to do it. Then look at Paul saying, he says, you did share with my affliction. They saw his need. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. See, that old English would communicate, but you share, because you don't want a gift that they gave. See? As concerning giving and receiving, you did share with me. After he started in Philippians telling them about how they should walk, and he prayed for them, and then Philippians tweet about Jesus Christ, his great gift. Then Paul talked about his own life and the things he's trusting. Pharisee, the Pharisee, and education, and his power, and his social status, they all had come down to me to live now in the excellency of the knowledge of this higher law, this law of faith that I come into, where I too realize my life is not just keeping some commandments, observing some ritual and ordinances, but now that same life by the Holy Ghost is Jesus in the same God continuing his life in me as he was in Jesus. What is the Holy Ghost given for? To continue the same works in the church. So Paul is showing them, now that I understand this, he is teaching them and awakening them and enlightening them that even the simplicity of what they did, God had a great meaning and purpose, and it was an expression of love that God recognized. God, the Spirit of God in him is writing this epistle, and this epistle of such great truth comes out because of that gift that was given to him. He talked about how Jesus becomes so low a servant. Then he talked about how he offered himself on the sacrifice of their faith. Then he talked about how Christ gave his life. Men of no reason was exalted. And then he's showing them how they too gave, sacrificing and the service of their faith to minister back to one who had ministered to them.
Now, these are the principles out of which real strong spiritual life comes forth. Now, when you go to pray, you can pray because you know you walk in that realm. You see the things. Your relationship is not just carnal and surface. You see. That's why Jesus could say that widow, she gave more. And Paul looking there and said that little gift, he said, you did share with me my affliction as giving and receiving. After he had already established how God so gave, how we receive Christ. Watch. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. He says, I was in Thessalonica one time, we stranded, missed my boat. And you were the nearest to me and needed some help. And you remembered and you sent to me. So my need, my could have been met. Not because I desire a gift. Hear this. Not because I desire a gift. He's establishing that. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You mean the church have an account? How about Paul in Philemon? You hear me preaching that already. Paul said, put it into my account what ye have done. Type in Christ. Because Adam threw the whole world into debt, spiritual debt. He sell out the whole kingdom. Is that right? Then Jesus came and he paid the debt he didn't owe. Is that right? And then we now, through the debt Christ paid, and settle the old account that Satan have no claim on us no more. Now we can ask in Christ's name. Is that right? So Paul now is applying that principle, like in the film, here to the church too. He said, this will abound to your account in heaven. Because it's a great thing for a church. He said, here, when you realize, hear the principle. He explained the principle in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 also. The husbandman who plant the garden, just eat from the garden. You might have a man fill up a whole shop, feel a corn, plant the corn, rear the corn, and then have it, you're going to pick that corn, and that corn pull back so. He said, the ox that tread the corn, you don't muscle it. While it treading, it can eat what it treading. He said, no, that's a principle in nature. He said, but that's a principle to reveal greater spiritual principles. So he's telling the church, you know, you see, he's lifting them up higher. He's teaching them and raising them up, not out of the carnal realm into spiritual understanding, to like they are a spiritual church, they are spiritual people. And this is how we should relate to one another. He said, not that I desire a gift. He said, this is about, I did a gift from you. He said, this is about that. This is God put me in need that you can supply my need. Because this is God put man in need so God could be the greatest giver there was and give Christ and reveal his love for us. And then, that's like John said, you know, shut up the bowls of compassion. You have a brother who needs something. You know, you know, say, be warmed and filled. God bless you. No, no. You realize now, I have to give him one of them coats. I have two. I can give him one. And then at the same time, when a man says, look, my brother, I have this, and you only give me half. He said, beware of covetousness. Because you're not supposed to see your brother have something and you in need and then try to make a claim upon it. No, no. It don't operate so. But he's saying, if we have the Holy Ghost, it's here we live. Because the Holy Ghost that was in Jesus lived his life according to the plan of God, according to the word of God. He was that great sacrifice. He was a sacrifice designed to meet the needs of man. Then you now become that living sacrifice. And hear this now. Look how it comes out. But I have all. He said, I have all. And abound. I am full. But I have all. I abound. And I am full. Like Jesus said, I have meat that you don't know of. When they try to give natural food, he and just natural food. He said, I have meat. If I stay in this,
I'm a pastor right here. Because this so satisfies me. I forget I didn't eat. I'm eating it proper because I'm with the breaks of the laws that'll be harmful to my body. But I ain't living to satisfy that law. I know another law here above that law. Look, but I have all and abound and I'm full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you. And hear how we call the gift now, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleased to God. He gave the gift that they gave, the status of us offering a sacrifice unto God. He said, well, come to me. Because I saw it as voluntary. It wasn't a commandment over your head. It wasn't somebody going to say, look at all you, all so selfish, all the man suffering there. So, no, no. He said, you offer me joy. He said, I do it. You know what I do? It made me offer myself now a sacrifice on the service. Love. Love does provoke love. He said, provoke one another to love and good works. You see how praying for one another can be kick, can be a hard thing when you live there? When you live there, praying for one another can be a hard thing. You can take time to pray. You can set aside things what you give all the attention to and make important and more important than it is and magnify that it has no real place as important in the plan for the age. And you can sort of see what is important according to the plan for the age. This gospel must go to all the world and then shall the end come. And the time is running out. And brother, the hour is late. And the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. And pray that God send more laborers. So this field can be reaped. And you can sort of see what is really important in the age. And when you see that angel standing there lifting his hand saying, time shall be no more. That rock thrown up and the cloud unturned. And the priest had on the book already. And judgment starts in the earth. And you say, a time of prayer. The evening sacrifice is offered. You can see what it ought to be in this hour. What is important when our life get in here to see what a real priest is offering his spiritual sacrifices. A royal priest is offering sacrifices that is a sweet an odor of a sweet smell unto God, acceptable sacrifices that are acceptable to God. The only sacrifice God is to accept is what God required. Is that right? And will be offered the way God required to be offered. Is that right? Otherwise he can't accept it, because it must reflect him who is in heaven. Is that right? What you do have to reflect Christ. The way you do it, the attitude you do it, the manner you do it. Otherwise, it's not considered of God. But when it reflects God, when it reflects Christ, when it's offered the way God said to offer it, give with your right hand, don't let your left hand know. That's the way to do it. That's right. You do things in a way, because God says, so I want you to offer your gift, your sacrifice. Then it becomes an odor of a sweet smell. That is what this sacrifice will be, a sweet savor offering. That when it's offered by fire, Holy Ghost, fire, heavenly fire that comes down the sacrifice, it goes up to God as an odor of a sweet smell. And that sacrifice was Jesus Christ. And when the Christ is in you, and you offer yourself as a living sacrifice, everything you do, there's an odor of a sweet smell. When you talk to that brother, it's Christ talking to him. Amen. When you talk to that sister, when you have that kind old lady, it's Christ in gentleness and kindness with consideration. Amen. When you see your brother sister in need, you are a kinsman standing in their stead. Amen. But I have to use your own thing to buy them out of bondage to get them free. Amen. That the devil have no claim that the name of God don't go to shame, because you recognize what God give you is not for you alone. Amen. It was that you can be in a position to be a real kinsman to display Jesus Christ. So you can live there where God called you to live as a real priest, a royal priesthood, Melchizedek. Amen. But in the world, the eternal order. In sons and daughters of God, redeemed by the blood in this hour, walking in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Not a church life, not a religious life, not a church attendance, not some little doctrinal but a thing that breeds sectarianism. We have the truth and only do have the truth and all this kind of nonsense. No, it is Jesus Christ again on 2 feet. Amen. Hallelujah. A sweet savor of Christ. This was the Alpha. This was the Alpha. This was the called ones in the Son of Man message. This was the ones who Peter said the royal priesthood, who called to offer spiritual sacrifices. This is the one who knew the morning sacrifice had offered. Amen. And then there were the people of prayer, because they were praying according to the work that was done on the cross. And the Holy Ghost, that same fire that raised Christ, had come back upon them and was working with heavenly fire. And the word had opened up. Them apostles gave themselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word, and they kept them, brother, with the right kind of atmosphere, the right kind of anointing. Amen. They had the right kind of incense, well mixed and compounded together, that everything they did was of a sweet smell, an odor acceptable and pleasing unto God. God said, this is my beloved bride. Yes, Paul, go down and raise the boy back up. Yes, Peter, I'll heal them when they stand in your shadow. Yes, Stephen, you stand there and proclaim the word. I'll give you wisdom that can resist you. Amen. Glory be to God. You can even be so full of love, you'll pray for them when they're stoning you. Amen. I myself will stand here. I'll show the heavens open. I'll give honor to you and the life that pleases me. They live in the Holy Ghost. That's what we call Holy Ghost Church. But are we going to the year 2003? That's the kind of place you want to walk. Them places you want to march in. That's the rank and file. That's the kind of apostolic group we are looking for. That's the kind of atmosphere we are building up into in this hour. It'll be a sweet savor, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice accepted and well pleasing unto God in this hour. Amen. Living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. Living priests. Living works. Living presence. Living tabernacle of the living God in this hour. Hallelujah. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Then he removed himself and their self, and he put it on God. He said, but my God, not I meeting your need or you meeting my need, because we are just a little outlet. But my God, the one that you get in your fire from and the one I get in my fire from, shall meet all your need according to your riches in glory. Me and Brother Sanchez and Sister Wilma, we share that with Vernice in the house. We said that is one of the last things we had up in the house up there. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, the peace of God that can keep your heart. We went on the book of Philippians one day, and we sit on there, we just study Philippians in the living room. Oh man, we sing and worship God afterwards as she was coming down to Jordan. Oh my, here I am this morning. Holy Spirit said, go there. Show what this is, where our life ought to be. What this priesthood, what is God talking about? What this prayer meeting, what this hour we've come to, what is this incense going up? What is this thing that is well pleasing unto God, that God can smell it? I know that's Christ. That's, I'm smelling his faith, I'm smelling his virtue, I'm smelling his knowledge, I'm smelling his temperance. Oh, he pleases me. I have discernment. Smelling is discernment, friends. Amen. You can your nose can tell you that smoke, that curry beef, this is chewed duck. Amen. Your nose can tell you that this is gas. Your nose can tell you that perfume and what kind of perfume it is. You ain't see it, you ain't taste it, you ain't hear it, and you ain't touch it. By your nose you can smell. Nose is discernment. God can smell a rat. He can smell something fishy going on. Amen. Glory be to God. He can smell our odor, a our sacrifice well pleasing unto him. Let Hattie Wright give a sacrifice well pleasing. The prophet will stop a priest from offering the sacrifice. Jehovah said, she ain't offering that to you. Move your hand from there. She offering that to me. Amen. And I'm going to come down and accept that with fire of the Holy Ghost in the third pole and give us sons eternal salvation. Amen. You wait and see when I respond back. Let it ascend into my nostrils. Let me enjoy it for a while. And then one day, while she making the cherry cobbler, I'll come down in the room. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. You will see me answering back to sacrifice. Well pleasing unto me. John 15:7. First time after it was spoken to the apostles, ask what you will. Ask anything in my name. What shall I ask? But what the altar had gold upon it. It wasn't just wood. It had gold on the altar. It had some deity. She was thinking about eternal things. She asked for something eternal. It came out of their heart. The voice of the blood spoke from the throne of her heart. Glory be to God in the height. Yes, sir. In this hour, and here was a priest, and here was another priest standing there, and the prophet standing on the post of duty, offered himself on the sacrifice and service of their faith. Hallelujah! Who also called before God, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell in. Hear him. And Jehovah struck the masterpiece standing in the image of the world, and he spoke, and said, Sister Hattie, I give you two boys in the name of Jesus Christ. And dunk him the fire upon the sacrifice and consume it by the grace of God. Hallelujah! Oh, brother, that same apostolic church we're reading there is here and it's here this morning. And we want to see this church grow in the Holy Ghost. My. Quickly, Ephesians 5:2. Ask him for that deeper life. Ask him to walk with him in the spirit. Yield and submit. Let go this morning. Come into a place where God can fill you. Come into a place where God can empower you. You can be led by his Holy Spirit. Amen. He wants to give that to you, friends. Watch it here in the world. Watch it all through the epistles. It's all through the epistles. Watch. We find it in Romans. Offering the sacrifice. We find in Philippians, in Ephesians 5, be you therefore followers of God as their children and walk in love. Watch the feet of the burnt offering. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us. Philippians, what we just had, the great gift, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And after he tells us how we should offer ourselves a sacrifice, a sweet smelling savor, he said, but fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Why? Because present your bodies. Let it be washed in pure water by the washing of the word. Know you not that you are not your own, you are bought with a price. To be offered upon his altar. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Let thanksgiving come from your mouth. Let's praise come from your mouth. Let's word of exhortation unto edification come forth from your mouth. Not filthiness, not jesting. Don't waste your time with that. Why? You are a living sacrifice. As Christ, amen, was an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now you offer yourself as a living sacrifice too. Now you make yourself holy and acceptable. Now you know that this is his service requires you, which is a reasonable service. You offer yourself a service. Amen. Let me move on from there. I want to come over to 1 Corinthians quickly. I have a couple of scriptures there, short ones, and I'm finished. 1 Corinthians 15.
and the Great Resurrection chapter where he's dealing with all the erroneous errors. Vain imaginations of men trying to destroy that great work that justified the bride and proved he was Messiah. When he rose for our justification, the one that Satan was trying to destroy, that revelation of the Easter seal. The whole man in ignorance. To keep us under guilt and condemnation. Telling us that if he wasn't raised, then we are not justified. But then it comes to something here, which I want to get these couple of verses. 30. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Paul talking about those who say that if Christ, if the dead is not raised at all. He said, then why stand we in jeopardy every hour? We're being stoned in every place we go, locked up in prison, beaten and everything else. We are delivering for this gospel. We're being ridiculed and called all kind of evil names, persecuted. But in the truth, I am persecuted more than when I was a sinner in the world. As a sinner in the world, when I do all kind of filthy things, nobody write no book about me. Nobody trying to destroy me. You stand in jeopardy of these things. Watch. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I die daily. That was his daily ministration. He offered himself as a sacrifice to God every day. He offered the incense every day. He kept the lamps trimmed and burning every day. Because he was a priest unto God. If after the man of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what does it profit me if the dead rise? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. He is tearing down the foolish arguments, showing them he died daily, live to display this resurrected power of Christ in his life. That was delivering them in Ephesus. That was delivering them in Colossae. That was delivering them in Thessalonica. That was delivering them in, but wherever he went, they saw the power of the resurrection and they heard the trumpet. He said the trumpet given certain song, who shall prepare for battle. But when that priest took that silver trumpet and blast forth that trumpet, gospel trumpet, it started scriptural war. Is that right? He shook them organizations. He shook them Jews with the word he preached. When they come down from Jerusalem, but he went up there and he displayed credentials and he tell how he made a pillar of fire. How good Jesus Christ in person appeared to him after he rose from the dead. They walked with him in flesh, but he saw him in the form he was in even before he came flesh. He saw the pre-incarnate glory standing. He was seen of me also. Wise master builder, I've laid the foundation which no other man can lay. I've seen them trumpets, I've seen them vials, I've seen them seven seals, I've seen them under language interpreted. You can't challenge me. Amen. I've seen that cloud condom photograph, I've seen that rainbow photograph, I've seen it in San Salvador, I've seen it in Prague, I've seen it here, I've seen it around the world, brother. Amen. I've seen the dead raised in Barataria. Amen. Glory be to God. But in church, I've seen all hell come against this. I've seen where they appear in the sky, a star, the Holy Spirit dropped down here and said, go to the book of Esther. I see when they tear on the Berlin Wall, he said, go there in Genesis and beat the tracks of the mighty hunt and return the global village. I've seen them things. But I've seen, even before them things, being a break in the world in a real way. He opened up them seven trumpets. For years, that wind would keep coming, running me in that book. That wasn't preached like somebody that took a book and read it until they get taught him. I testify ever so often in cycles. He would come, I'd read that book, I'd go down the library, I would spend hours, I'd go in the cave, I'd go in the Gopher Patch.
not knowing there's a seal upon that book. It busts ministers' head trying to understand it. Glory be to God in the highest. Right. Seeing the blessed only potentate come right through the window. Stand to your feet. I've seen him revealed in the depths of Satan from Jeroboam to Jezebel. Supernaturally, they are doing no in the Bible. If they get up and go in the shell, pull that book out. You'll find his head for a bottom woman, a free woman, and reveal the things. I'm talking about plain church here, brother. No, sir. I've seen this morning say, take your message and put it aside. I hear about 24 pages. Say, leave it alone. I come in the pulpit, walking on thin ice. Oh, God. Oh, it's happening. It's something in my heart. It had to come out of my heart. It had to come out of the desk, right away with the desk before everybody. That's right. That's God. That's the God I serve. That's the God I serve. I trust I'm a sweet savor. As I'm a sweet savor, an odor of a sweet smell. And I believe his word. I stand for his word. I give my life. I lay my head down many years ago. Amen. I lay my inwards and my fat. Amen. On the altar. Wash my feet and lay down. And nothing is kept back for the offerer. A holocaust, a hola. Go up before God as a burnt sacrifice. Because he must have that for the soul of the Lord. I'm trying to tell the church here this morning by speaking some of these things to say, church, God has been holding us in a place for a purpose. He's passing us places. I try to show as if it comes from the desk. I had no notes in the place. Look at Philippians, how the church start. Look how the apostles are directing them back. Look how he's showing them things that they did, where it fit and how God saw it. It became the Bible. Look how he took their principles of sacrifice and applied in their life and the relationship with each other and show them the value of what a real spirit-filled life is. In Ephesians, look how he brings that out here and showing that Jesus, he was that odor of a sweet smell. Please accept that how we should be like, we should be followers and we should walk in that love also, because everything he did was out of love. Then he comes, the apostle, I die daily, 2 Corinthians 4. I have that in 5 verses there and 3 verses in 2 Corinthians 2. Memory 2 Corinthians 4. To bring that out to show how Paul is speaking that. Speaking to the Corinthian church here. There was another church he had established. Ephesians was another church he had established. But we have this treasure in wooden vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. So if you're perplexed, persecuted, cast down, troubled, don't lose hope this morning. Be troubled, but you're not in distress. You're persecuted, but not in despair. You're cast down, but they can't destroy you. You're not destroyed. Always being about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. He says, what? We are bearing in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. When he offered himself as a sacrifice, we now have this dying. And Paul said, I die daily. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us,
with life in you. Sooner and death will get in us. He showed another principle again. To bring life to them, they couldn't bring life if they didn't die. Any church that have to have life have to have a ministry that will die. Because it can't come by intellectual sermons. It can't come by church programs. Redemption is not like that. If that church is considered in the plan of redemption, if those people are considered in the plan of redemption, it is governed by the law of redemption. You understand that? We die for one another. We live to God. We humble ourselves in obedience to each other so that God can exalt us. We become a servant to each other. In doing that, it's a sacrifice. But that sacrifice is an odor of a sweet smell, pleasing and acceptable to God. Because it's something that God accepts. And when God accepts it, God comes down and responds. Because it has met God's requirement. One thing quickly. Last scripture here. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. No matter how difficult things may seem at some times. You don't know, you can't turn to the right, you can't turn to the left, you can't go forward, you can't go backward. It seems like you're all boxing. It seems like everything comes to its end. But then God makes a way. Then God makes a way. Like when they said the Red Sea, the pillar of fire. They couldn't go back, they couldn't go forward, they couldn't go mountains either side. Pharaoh army behind them, the Red Sea before them. But he made a way in the wilderness. Then God dropped down. He always calls you to triumph. No matter how dark it seems, you're back against the wall. You stand flat foot like old man Mo. If I'm going to go through that wall, God can make a hole in that wall for me to go through by the grace of God. He's going to work all things together for good. You stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Glory be to God. Like when that prophecy dropped down there for Jehoshaphat. God made a way. When Jonah thought he could come out of the belly of that fish, then something struck his heart. The Holy Spirit began to bring to remembrance the prayer of Solomon, the house. He said, once again, I will look to your holy temple. And as he began to pray, the fish began to come up, 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 up. The fish began to get indigestion. And the fish began to feel like vomiting right on the beach. And he vomited the preacher out. And out come the preacher saying, repent or perish. What it was, God making a way when it seemed like there was no way. Causes a triumph always. Watch. And make it manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. There's a knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a statue of a perfect man, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the work of the ministry. There's a knowledge of the Son of God, wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. To know him is life. That it comes forth, and that knowledge becomes a sweet savor. That people sit under that word, and as that knowledge of Christ, the mystery of God, begins to be revealed. Oh, the church knows that's Jesus. Only Jesus could say that so. Oh, that's Jesus. It's not a man defeating on. It's the unfailing body of word of the Son. It's the sacrifice accepted before God. The peace offering, the getting the breast and the right shoulder. Amen. The supping with God. Amen. The partaking of that knowledge. A sweet savor. Because the peace offering was also a sweet savor offering. Who make it manifest the savor of his knowledge. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. And the knowledge that comes forth from us, the mystery that we preach of him in us, to reveal his Son in us, that we might preach him to the Gentiles. You get that? Christ revealing us. When it pleased God to receive me in my mother's womb, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him who is revealing me. He, this one that pleases the Father. Do you know when you stand and you're really anointed and inspired and you become one with him and his word becomes spirit and life in you? And it's not you speaking, it is the Spirit speaking through you. Jesus being revealed. That's that same Jesus. Do you know that's what the Holy Ghost is given for? Do you know that only His Word is spirit and life? Paul and them knew they had that Word inside of them. He knew he was a priest with the human tamim. Was Peter a priest with the human tamim? Is that right? And as the Pharaoh came, and they didn't know that priest was standing there with them lights flashing and trying to lie before the Holy Spirit, bring some lying vision, and they dropped dead. Then Elimas, the sorcerer, standing before Paul, trying to contradict with his own interpretation of what Paul was saying. Not seen a priest standing there. Didn't Paul tell him? He said, "Your epistles is written our. Your epistle written in our hearts." That's right. The high priest had all them names written on the breastplate when he went in. Paul said, "I don't cease to pray for you. You are written in our hearts." Why? Because they stood there ministering to that church the things of God, the heavenly things of God, the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. Just bring it forth for the church. Like a Levite's teaching priest was bringing the mystery to the church. Stood there knowing that church, they were standing in the gap for them. They prayed for, he said, "I pray for you continually, day and night, calling your name. You are our epistle." My. To them, they knew all those things in shadow and type had become reality. They were living out this mystery. And their life wasn't a church life. It was the substance of the shadow. It was the reality. When they met there, because they were a holy nation. When you meet your brother priest offering the same kind of sacrifice, you see a life pleasing unto God. You see a life that poured out of that drink offering. You see a servant of God. And we have so much of them here who day and night they pour their life out for this church. Because they believe in what happened, what goes on here. From the first day that they came and the light struck them. And they recognize that this is the place they are called and predestinated. That angelic beings have associated in heaven, dropped down in the earth, that they have an association here in life's journey. That when they gather to their people. Like Brother Buzzwood was gathered to his people. Like much of my people in my ministry under this message is on the other side this morning, waiting there for me. Many of them I took down to the cemetery and planted them in weakness, knowing there's going to be raising power. And I stay here preaching until my time comes, whether I go before or wait until the Lord comes. Standing here this morning, going into the year 2003 with this revelation in my heart. Amen. That the evening sacrifice is offered. This is the royal priesthood. This is the end time priest in the last days. This is the house of prayer for all nations. And there's a sweet savor. If there's the house of prayer, sacrifice is being offered here. If there's a priesthood, sacrifice has been offered. Incense has been offered. God is pleased with something here. God is smelling sweet in his nostrils. And God can come down and there can be healings and visions and revelations and gifts of the Spirit and all kind of brother paradoxes taking place among them, because God is answering back, showing his pleased, just like he was with the Alpha. And the same way the ministry understood and the people understood, as we read in Colossians, as we read in Philippians, as we read in Corinthians and Romans, we see that here in this hour the same book of Acts is being continued on. This is a church raised up just like them churches with the same revelation, because he preached what Paul preached. Amen. The same foundation stone is the same headstone come back here, same kind of believers, because the heart of the children is turned back to the faith of the fathers, and we walk in the same faith in this hour. The faith of the fathers is living still. Same thing is here. Daily ministration is going on here.
we come and the incense go up daily. The sacrifice go up daily. We die daily.
Why?
Because we offer ourselves daily. We stay consecrated to the purpose we are called unto. Because like Levi, we are called and separated for special service. And we have access to God into His presence. And we work in a realm where the others can't come, because no Baptist could come here, no Methodist and Jehovah Witness and the Adventist. A prophet came off the mountain from the cloud and separate us to operate here in the realm of heavenly things. Oh my! The savour of His knowledge in this place today. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ. What is that? That was a sacrifice that was offered voluntarily. In them that are saved and in them that perish, to the one we are the savour of death unto death, and to the other the savour of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many who corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God. In the sight of God speak we in Christ. It's in Christ. There's a voice of many waters coming forth from Him, thundering out in sweetness, in purity, in holiness. Prepared servants, seraphims, in actual reverence and humility in the temple of God. A sweet savor. How have you lived your life? How are you living your life this morning? What kind of odor come up before God from your life, from your service, from your works? What influence your thoughts that give birth to your actions when you act? Is it coming from something you see on TV? You're trying to mimic some personality? You see some Hollywood image, some image in a fashion magazine, something you're trying to be conformed to? You should be conformed to the world, the cosmos. Is there where your influence comes from? But in the midst of the world, in the midst of the earth, there was Jerusalem. And in the midst of Jerusalem, there was the temple. And in the midst of the temple, there was the Holy of Holies. And in the midst of the Holy of Holies was a man separated by God to come right in God's presence on the Day of Atonement and to stand in fellowship with God, where there was no veil between him and God. Is there people in the earth today that is beloved to God? Is there people that is purchased by God? Is there a redeemed people by God that have the mysteries of God? Is there people who have access to God in this hour because these seals is taken off of God and they can come by a new and living way? They can come right into the word, into the pillar of fire. Is there such a people on the earth today? Is this day the Day of Atonement? Between the feet of trumpets that gathers and the feet of tabernacle that changes us? Is the shout gather the bride? Seven gospel trumpets? Seven thunder of the voices? Is it going to fit to be changed? But between that time, the evening sacrifice is offered. Is that right? Between that time, there's prayer going up. Between that time, there's a sweet smelling savor. The incense is going up. At that time, glory be to God in the highest. A people who see the high priest come out, a people who hear the jubilee trumpet, is returning back to the possessions, going back to the original beginnings. but a people who've been redeemed, seen their sins going far away in the scapegoat, never to come back no more, removing all defilement from in the midst, that I can stand justified before God. Are we in that kind of day? Did he say you are the sinless, spotless foot, you bride of the Son of the living God? Is this a day when Elijah restored the original atonement? Amen. Is this that day? Glory be to God in the highest. What influence is upon your life? What influence is your walk? What influence is your speech? What influence has become the desire within your soul? Is it from that sacrifice? All true. We took these examples showing life to them came from the sacrifice that was offered, that was pleased and accepted by God. Now that life was in them, and they too was walking that same Holy Ghost, the life that pleased God in that prophet. After that one man's scripture, after the Son of Man was revealed, the life came back on a many-membered body. Did the life that come back in you prove it was the life that was in the prophet? Or just you claiming something in you and it don't resemble what was in him? Because that was the one that was accepted in this day. He put the kings on his hand. He said, I see the cloud of a shadow in the mountain. He said, I give my prophet power to speak into existence. He said, what is that? He said, that is like Moses there on the mountain when he came back as God to the people. And like Jesus, this is my beloved son, hear him. When he dressed in vestments of divine authority, chief authority of the West, brought at the head of the communion table, and when he spoke, he commanded all man understood, placed positionally with all authority in the age. That life, is that what has come back? Is that what comes back? Because that's what God is smelling for. That's what God is smelling for. That is what was pleased and acceptable to God. That was what was way for our acceptance. Are we a scriptural people? Is our inspiration scripture? Is our life a scriptural life? Or are we just come to church like Pentecostal and Jehovah's Witness and Seventh-day Adventist and just keeping church program? Or are we walking in the mystery? Or do we see that Leviticus, Hebrews, in the first Exodus and the second Exodus, when the prophet came off the mountain, when he set up the order, there's a priesthood that followed. People who offer sacrifice. After Moses, there was a priesthood that offered. After Jesus, there's a royal priesthood. And the end time, that real priesthood, that real house of prayer is to be here. Because you are a royal priesthood. You are lively stones, build up a spiritual house. And you offer spiritual sacrifice. A spiritual priesthood, spiritual sacrifice, spiritual house. It's all spirit. Please unto him. How did the priest come? By election and calling. By birth. How are we going to come into this? By election and calling. By birth. Born in a priestly family. And in this day, they are united. The priesthood and the kingship is united. Because he redeemed us as kings and priests back to God. He promised that. In other words, he's telling you, I'll give you back your dominion. You will speak into existence. I'll give you back your access. In the time of crisis, you'll find grace to help in time of need. Like Joshua had access to him and called for sunlight. Like Moses had access to him at the Red Sea. Like Job said in the airship, in that hour of stress, he had access to God. Because priests have access, kings have dominion. Adam was priest and king. You call it the holy calling, brethren. Don't live your life as a Trinidadian. Don't live your life in the earthly church realm of organizational thinking.
Let your thinking be filtered. Be quick, mighty spirit, and be raised up into heavenly places. That you can see this great position of what you're called to in Christ. To see what He made you in Christ. And see yourself the way God sees you. Because what He's telling you, there's patterns of it in the Bible. He tells you a priest, He shows you what priest is doing in the Bible. He tells you a king, He shows you what king is doing in the Bible. He tells you a kinsman, He shows you what kinsman is doing in the Bible. He tells you a sacrifice, He shows you what a sacrifice please unto God is in the Bible. You don't have to guess. Because all was Jesus. He was king, He was priest, He was kinsman, He was sacrifice. Is that right? And the bride is part of Him. She's bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. She's life of His life, spirit of His spirit, word of His word. What He is, she is. Is that right? But there's only one form of eternal life. Let's rise to our feet. This is our friends. We've come to such a place. We've come to such a place. It's a great time. It's a great time for us. It's a great day for us. God wants to do great things with us. God is moving us up into a spot. We want to catch what the Spirit is saying. We want to take time to let it soak into our hearts. We want to consider deeply and wait and pray over it and say, Father, you've been saying this. The two altars of the tabernacle, the four horns of the golden altar, tell us our prayer must have power. Because that altar, it symbolized prayer and worship, had horns. It wasn't a weak thing. There's a power that moved. The greatest power that God put in the hands of man is prayer. It even changed the mind of God one time. He says, greater than any atomic bomb or hydrogen bomb, pray. God told, pronounce death upon Hezekiah. Think of it. The man turned his face to the wall and began to pray and seek God. The prophet had then left his presence and was going out the corridors of the palace. The Holy Spirit turned him around and said, go back and tell him I hear his prayer. He'll not die. Took a man out from under a sentence of death. Prayer. More powerful than any hydrogen bomb. The greatest thing that God could put in the hands of man. When we can offer something that is sweet, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, the fruits of our lips, coming up before God. When we can offer our spiritual sacrifices with understanding of how to draw near, how to approach God. When we can come knowing that in our election calling, in God's great foreordination in our lives, making us part of this bride, this is what He made us. And that's why He had to come back and reveal to us clearly, because we are at an hour where we must know these things. We have come to the time when prayer cannot be a weak thing, because when the sacrifice is offered, the word have come back in its fullness, in its entirety. The full lamb, the full message, sorry, has come back in these last days. So we can go back to the Garden of Eden. Every word has come back. Seven tons of other voices. That is what is offered as the evening sacrifice. That revelation of Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, has been the mighty God has been unveiled to us. All that He is for us, all that He has achieved for us, all that He has promised for us, all that He's working to bring to pass in our lives. How can we let that slip by? How can we let someone in this world? This is a day people died in faith in the dark ages, giving their lives in martyrdom, and would not compromise because they know that this day was coming back for the church. Luther stood up and protested the whole of Europe, that Catholic Church, knowing that this day was coming back for the church. Wesley fought knowing that this day was coming back for the church. And when God sent a prophet, and Elijah truly shall come and restore all things. The time of the restitution of all things that will take us back to the very beginning before there's a fall. That has been offered, friends. Then everything that we had peace with God in the beginning. When we fell to enmity. God had to do something to bring that peace back. He put a peace offering. We had fellowship with God that was lost. That came back through the union of the peace offering. Man and God could eat together at the same table and have fellowship again. I'll sup with you and you with me. Our sins that we had, a sinful nature, and then our trespasses, our acts of sin, all those things, God put a sin offering and a trespass offering, showing us what this one offering of Jesus Christ, this one message. Luther had part of the truth. Wesley had part of the truth. Irenaeus, all them, fought and brought back parts of the truth. But in this day, friends, everything come back. The whole complete truth has come back to us. In one message, in one offering. Luther can only see justification back. Like you take one offering and you only show one part of what Christ achieved. You take Wesley's message, you just get two parts of what Christ achieved. He could tell you about sonship and come back to full dominion. He brought justification and sanctification. He could tell you about the gifts of the Spirit and how it operated in the church. But when the last day message came, everything it takes to please God, everything it takes to stand in union with God, equal to God without robbery, unveiling of God. There's one that unveiled God, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, who even spoke into existence in this day to show to us everything you're going to take to make man an amateur God again, a son of God, standing there, manifest himself. Was put in the message to change this body and make it glorified. Was put in this message to know as you are known, where you can stand with perfect faith in a perfect God who make a perfect promise in a perfect world, where there's no more amnesia, you can see face to face. Is put in this message. Where those who hate you, persecute you, where all denominations came together and rejected him, crucified the effects of his message, yet he loved them, is put in this message. He never slander. He never ridicule. He never get lost in trying to keep fighting them back for that. No. He walk above there. It brought back in this message where you can love those who hate you. He loved the hornets. He loved the ball. He loved all the tanks. It come back in this message. He loved the Lord all his heart, all his mind, all his soul, all his strength. He sleep for 8 days, sit on the platform, sleep in half hour, get back up, pray for the sick, pour his life out. It was an odor of a sweet smell, pleasing to God. We carry that word in us this morning. I draw this circle so big I include everybody here. You will have to say, no, carry it and step back out of that circle. only because you don't want that word to be in you. But right now, you can say, Father, put the word in me. Plant it deep within me. Let me hide that word in my heart. I will not sin against thee. That this word will grow within me. I'll become this word. Oh God, may you grant it, Father. We lift our hands on this note, on this point, Father, as their hands are raised spontaneously before you. Almighty God, we stand naked before you today. We stand unveiled, oh God. We stand here in submission to your word, Father. Just looking at the scriptures like a little exhortation, a sweet savor of Christ. Oh God, to take these thoughts, Father, in this season, what you are speaking unto us, that Lord, under this season, oh God, and the revelations you have brought, this can be crystallized, that we can see how to live our lives and what it means to walk in the Spirit and live a Christian life and see the principles of the sacrificial life of Christ exemplified in our very own lives, becoming personalized, the very same life that pleased the Father, living out itself again now in those who was purchased by the sacrificial work of that supreme sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice, the ones that redeem, that he can share his life with them. Now that very life is being lived out, Father, displaying your victory and the reason of your death, Father, showing forth your preeminences, bearing your life, bearing your name, bearing your signs, bearing your wonders, showing his Christ in the true church, the continuation of the book of Acts, and by and through the members of these, you can finish the work in this hour, Father, this end time priesthood, this royal priesthood, oh God, this branch that come from the root, Lord, oh God, in the last days, Father, in this restoration of the bright tree, oh God, make it real in our hearts today, Father, and Lord God, may this church walk in the Spirit, be lifted in the atmosphere of prayer, where we stand carrying out this charge of the functions of this sacred office of this royal priesthood, Father, walking holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Oh, may you grant it, Father. Bless you, people, Lord. Send them the anointed oil. Sprinkle the blood. Wrap them with the garments, oh God. Lord, give them unction and power to minister, oh God. Father, in the sanctuary, to come before the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Oh God, with that incense. Hallelujah. Sprinkling the blood, Father. Getting the petition that they desire from you. Knowing they can come in boldness before this throne of grace. They can obtain mercy and find grace to help in this hour of need, Father. Because this is the access that you have given that brings the very dominion, Father. Oh, God, that we had in the very beginning. May you grant it, Lord. May you grant it today, Father. May you bless your children, oh God. May you bless, oh God, your people. Them that stand here and them that stand out in the islands in the great congregation of the righteous, oh God, that encircles the earth, dear God, in the name of Jesus Christ. May the Holy Spirit, Lord, drive these things down in our heart with such reality, oh God, that will raise us up to walk in a new sphere, to walk, dear God, in another consciousness, oh God, than where we have lived and walked before, to come up higher, to come up hither, oh God, with an eagle anointing. Lord, set now wings and rising up in the arms of faith to be closer drawn to you. May you grant it, Lord. Draw us nearer, Lord. Isn't it the privilege of a priest to draw near? He said, let us draw near in a true heart and full assurance of faith. Oh, God, to come by this new and living way to enter into the holiest. Oh, hallelujah. May you grant it, Lord. May you grant it today, Father. We thank you, Lord. We just pray that your Holy Spirit will make these things so real. It'll saturate the souls of your children, Lord. It will fill their heart and their entire being, dear God. And Lord God, those that are crying out this morning for this reality, those who cannot see and envision, Lord, these things in their own lives, those, dear God, who neglected and resisted that calling, Father, may the day they draw near, Father, may the day they come in full surrender as this year fades out and the new year is being ushered in, oh God. Father, God, may they haste, no God. Lord, we don't know what this year coming year will hold for us. We see what happened, oh God, in the year 2001, when Lord God, on September the 11th, Lord God, a great line of demarcation was drawn in the land. We saw what happened, oh God, in this year, Father, when the Holy Spirit came down among us and began to reveal showers of revelation, begin to fall this year, Father. It began to bring us into a new dimension. Something was breaking between mortal and immortality. They sang about it to give keys to unlock the door to the third pole. May, oh God, in this coming year, Father, Lord God, we see that door to the third pole. Souls entering in with a key in their hand, Father, that could bind and loose their God. We see, Father, spiritual scientists, oh God, Father, mixing the chemicals of the world. Spiritual astronauts, dear God, in that world of perfect faith, dear God, in that realm of certain victory. Oh God, may you grant it, Father. May, oh God, this coming year, Lord, we see this priesthood, Father, Lord, offering them sacrifices in the sanctuary. Oh God, becoming smoky, oh God. Lord, may you grant it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. May all these things, Lord, Lord God, this thing that breaking this great shalom, Lord God, that we are seeing, Father, may the morning star shine bright in every heart. Oh God, unto that perfect day, dear God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord God, that is, we caught that, Father. Lord, you drop it down this year, Lord. Thy faith, power of true confession. We see that rugged faith, oh God, in the hearts of your children, Father. Oh God, victorious, overcoming faith in this hour. Grant it, Lord, we pray. May you grant it, Father. Lord, at every corner we will fall in the ground and die. Oh God, we'll see, Father, Lord, a real power coming up, Lord, in every life. Power of transformation, dear God, rapture in faith coming forth in every heart. May you grant, Lord, our soul hunger, our soul thirst, our soul cries out for more of you, Father. Lord, as we feel the Holy Spirit pressing, coming in, oh God, knocking at the door of every heart, dear God. Lord, give us an ear that will be attentive, that will hearken. Lord, we rise up and do your will, oh God. Open up that door and let you come in and fill, Father. May you grant it, dear Jesus. May you grant it, Lord. Remember the sick. Remember the afflicted. Remember them that are needy. Remember the oppressed today. Remember those that are crying out. Remember those that are weak, dear God. We pray that the Spirit of the living God, Father, will give to them, Lord. Set the soul in desperation, we pray. Oh, God, let the Spirit of wisdom and revelation move. Give them strength and power and might in the inner man, Father. Lord, let the divine love be poured out and knit the souls and the hearts of your children together in love. May you grant it, oh God. May you grant it, we pray, Father. Lord God, may we take the broom and the candle, as it were, and sweep the house. Sweep the house. There's nothing in the subconscious realm to ground off our feet and paralyze our faith. Lord God, we can be so lined up, the subconscious and the conscious, Father. Oh God, in harmony, dear God, that we can see these great acts and exploits of faith and power. Lord, these demonstrations of the Holy Spirit, Lord, coming forth in this hour to start a rapture in faith to the good of the church. May you grant it, Lord. May you grant it today, we pray, Father. God, it's not hard to pray these things because you promise it, Lord. You promise it, Father, that there'll be a revival of the just and a great power set coming to the church just before it's going, and that third Paul that shall do great things for us in our midst, Father. Down through these years, we'll look for it, oh God. And now, at this junction, Father, we see it so clear. We see it so real. Our hands can reach forth and touch it, oh God. Oh, Holy Spirit, make it more real, Father, and let our lives truly be an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well pleasing unto you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father. In the name that is above all names, that precious name, that lovely name, that name so full of majesty and glory. Oh God, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. There be a sinner, a stranger, a visitor, oh God, One who down through these years have been wanting something deeper in their life. They don't just want a church program. They don't just want a church attendance. They want a reality. They want to know this God in their own life in reality. One that might be here like that, Father. I pray you'd fill that hungering heart, oh God. I pray you'll give that witness. I pray that you'll bring that satisfaction to that soul. Oh God, only the revealed word of truth can be that need and may be met today, Father. May you open up their eyes and cause them to see. May you anoint their ears and cause them to recognize a voice and understand the call of the Spirit, Father. Why you brought them to this place? Because surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. This is none other than the house of God. Oh, Jesus, may you grant it, Lord. May you grant it, Father. May you grant it, Lord. May you grant it, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You said we draw near to you, draw near to us, God. Your presence is near, Father. Near to heal, near to deliver. Near to break every hold of the enemy, oh God. We don't want to wait until old year's night, Father. We don't want to wait until some tradition of old years and turning some new leaf, Father. We don't know if we're going to live until that time, Father. But while we hear your presence, while it is called today, if we hear your voice, may we harden our hearts, oh God. But may we say, come by me, Lord. Come by here, Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer. Oh, Lord, hear my cry, oh Lord. Attend unto my prayer. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hear our prayer, oh God. Hear our prayer, oh God. Hear our prayer. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, Lord. We know you are interested, Father. We can come with boldness. We can come with confidence. Because it is your will that we come. That's why you made a way. That's why you revealed a way. That's why the voice of the blood speaks from the mercy seat and say, come, may we flee for refuge, Father, under that precious blood, oh God. Oh God, knowing it was there you were propitiated, Father. Oh God, there the just demands of our holy God were satisfied. There mercy rejoiced over judgment. There man can be reconciled to God and obtain his favor once again. Hallelujah. Oh God, may that God it be so in our tabernacle, in our lives, that you will take your abode above the mercies of our heart, and the testimony will be the act of our heart, and the blood will sprinkle us and purge us from our evil conscience. And oh God, out from the inside of the inside, where your throne is, in the soul, in the heart. Oh God, Father, you can flow out in this hour because this is your house. This is your resting place. This is the only house that the Most High can dwell in. No, you're not. You're the temple of the living God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This is your house that is called by your name, Father. This is your house of prayer. This is your house of sacrifice. This is your living tabernacle, Lord. This is your dwelling place. This is your place of your rest. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We let go, Father. We let go, dear God. We yield and we surrender to you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your great grace. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your truth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to invite Brother Ross to come and pray. Let us all unite our faith, unite our hearts, all in the side room, all in the mother's room, all around the building, wherever you are. Friends, let us unite and look to him now. His ear is attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. We stand in covenant, in union with God here. We stand as His people redeemed. We stand here on the grounds of His great sacrifice. We stand here knowing that this finished work met every need. God sent a sacrifice that was able to meet every need, all that it would take, everything that we lacked, all that we needed to have supplied, that we might be able to stand once again in the very position that we were in before the fall. Every failure in our life, every weakness in our life, God sent something to meet those places, that if we can take that word and apply it, if we can feed upon this word, if we can feed upon this lamb, it can sustain us, it can provide for us, it can impart to us all that we have need of to stand here again. Believe it as we stand with faith that this is the sacrifice, this is the message, this is the lamb, this is the kinsman, this is the very one that has redeemed us back to God out of every kindred and nation and tongue and tribe, and has made us kings and priests again. Hallelujah! Where we shall reign in His kingdom with Him upon the face of the earth. Let us stand here and believe this today. Let us look to Him, and as He looked to us through the blood of this sacrifice, all that you have need of, believe today, and let our God shall supply all our needs according to His riches and glory. All around the building now is our brother, we pray. Thank you, Jesus.
Blessed be your name, O Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. Our Lord and our God, we lift our hands before you this evening, Father. Recognize your great presence in our midst, Lord. And Lord God, with our voices we confess that we believe, Father. We believe, Lord God. Almighty God, your Holy Spirit has ministered to our hearts, Lord God. And upon, Lord God, the sacrifice of your servant that stands up in the pulpit, Lord God, we want to pour out our lives also, Lord, to take this word, Father, and to walk out with it, Lord Jesus, to hold it in our hearts, Lord God, and to look towards you, Father, that your Spirit could take these words, Lord God, that has been embedded in our hearts, and behold dearly, and transform it into a living reality, Lord God. That the Christ whom we had given our hearts to and our lives to, Lord God, so long ago, that Christ, Lord, could be visibly seen amongst us, Lord God. I remember, Lord God, a songwriter say, what could we do for you? He said, most we could do for you is to speak, as a songwriter said, sing a song for your bride. But Lord God, we want to live for you, Lord God. We know to live to you, so live for your people. We know, Lord God, is to hold your word and let your Holy Spirit govern our lives and lead us in the paths of righteousness. Father, we think, Lord God, that as we serve you in this day, Lord Jesus, we see ourselves approach before your throne. We can hear your Spirit saying this morning, you are looking at our walk. You want, Lord God, to see us, Lord God, coming with a revelation of the blood that was shed for us on Calvary's tree. You want to see us, Lord, dressed in the garments of the word, Father. You want to see us, Lord, walk in the candlesticks, the light of the candlestick, the light of the word for our age, Lord. Eating the shrew bread, Father. Going, Lord God, to the altar of incense, Lord God. Getting ready to come into the veil, Lord God, where the glories never fail, Father. Where you are standing beneath the wings of the cherubim, Lord God, to know, Father, that Lord, banner that's in that golden pot is what we are feasting on this day, Father. Lord God, to bring back a clean, fresh drink for you, Lord. It has been our hearts, it has been our desires, our life, Lord. Walk into the service this morning, Lord God, so broken up in spirit, Lord, because, Lord, you're fine. We know we need to go a little extra mile to go a little higher, Lord. And you have been amongst us. You have revealed your word. You have pointed to the places, Lord God, that we could pour our lives out in, Father. You have made these things real to our hearts. You have not left us guessing, Lord. You have not left us wandering, Father. Father, oh God. And today, Lord, seeing the Spirit so rich, seeing the Spirit and faith, Lord God, has poured itself out. Father, we take these things, Lord. Father, we want to thank you for what you have given unto us, what you have revealed unto us, what you have made plain unto us, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord. But now, Lord God, we lift our hands on this day. Lord, I lift my hands, and Lord, and all who do believe will lift their hands also. And we pledge, Lord God, our allegiance to the Lamb. And we pledge, Lord God, we don't want to live like we lived yesterday. We don't want to walk like we walked yesterday. We don't want, Lord God, to approach you like we approached you yesterday. Recognizing, Lord God, that the only prayer you'll hear now, Lord, is the prayer of a priest that is properly dressed, the prayer of a priest that is washed, the prayer of a priest that has a revelation of his walk, the prayer of a priest, Lord God, that knows what the incense and the power of the horns that is upon the altar, and knows, Lord God, what is to approach you. You said, oh God, that we are blessed because we are chosen to approach you, Lord God. And Father, we take these things and we don't count it lightly here this morning. Lord God, but we hold in our hearts and we recognize, Lord, we are insufficient, but we are called for this, Lord. For this purpose, you raise us up, Lord. You take our amnesia away, Father. You take our guilt and our condemnation. You take our filthiness, Lord. You clothe us with your garments of righteousness. And now we want to walk holy, holy, holy unto you, Lord. As we walk before you in this life, Father, we know we are living in a dark age. We know demons are against us. They pressure us. They torment us night and day. But Father, we have the victory you have given us, Lord God. Hallelujah. The victory. You let us know in all things give thanks. Let us know, Lord, once we stay behind this word, we could never be defeated. Once we hold this word in our hearts, once we seek your face, once we put our trust in you, once we, Lord God, stand faithful and true to you, Lord, we will win. I'll win. We have already overcome. The prophet saw us walking, marching. But Christian soldiers, he saw us in victory, Father. He longed for this day. He said, I long for a church walking from in the doors and see no sin amongst the people and see the Spirit of God moving and see love beating the hearts one for each other and find, Lord God, a people so united, Lord, that Satan have no part with them. Lord, we believe this is that hour. This is that day. This is the vision that your servant saw, Lord God. This is the tent where we know that inside this tent here in this vision with this word in our hearts, Lord God, none will come into our presence and walk back out sick. None, Lord God, will come in lame and go back out lame. This is the hour, Father. This is the time. This revelation, Lord God, will bring this glorious and tremendous victory in the love divine. This revelation shall change these vile, all wretched bodies, Lord. This revelation shall bring every demon under our feet. This word minister unto our hearts in this place, in this hour. Lord, may our lives be a sweet smell and savor unto thee, Lord God. Lord, if we have failed you, we repent here this morning. If, Lord God, our feet has walked away from the revelation's word, we repent here this morning. If we have not been as sincere as we ought to be, Lord God, we repent here this morning. Oh God, when we see you, Lord God, you care so much. Looking beyond our faults and like a great mama eagle has pulled us under your wings. Lord, as a child, you're more than able, you're more than victorious. Lord God, that blood of Jesus Christ still speaking better things to our hearts here this morning. Greater than the blood of bulls and goats. Oh God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for your mercy this morning. Lord God, take this word. Let the Spirit break it even further, Lord. As we chew upon it, our forefathers walk in it. Peter, Paul, James, John, Mary, Matt, they walked in these things. Great exploits was wrought by them, Lord. But that's yesterday, Lord. The revelation that they held in their hearts that made them do these great exploits has been restored back. And Daniel saw us, Lord. He said, the wise shall do great exploits in the last days. Lord God, and the seal has been pulled back from off the book. We are sure, Lord. For we see you standing there with open arms. Yes, Father, if they believe and they were born of a woman just like we are, and they face the same spirits that we are facing, and they overcome the same devil that is confronting us here today, and we saw one another, they overcame to our prophet, and then we see, Lord God, you have given our minister grace to walk before us in faith and as an example and a pattern that he believes the very things that he's ministering, Lord. Then, Lord God, it will be a sin for us, Father, if we too, Lord, don't take up our cross and follow you, Lord. Jesus, give us the strength. Every man, every woman, every believer in this place, every young lady, every young man, even our elderly sisters that stand here, Lord God, believing in their hearts. Lord, their body's growing old, their hair getting gray, Lord God, but they're believing unto the end. Oh God, let your Holy Spirit govern us, Lord. I hear your Spirit saying you're willing to do it if we'll only yield ourselves to you. If we'll only give it over, give over our hearts, give over our desires, put our head down. Let our feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Put on the whole armor. Lord, I hear you say, if we'll only yield, you are here. You're willing to visit everyone. No one is too small. No one is too big. Lord God, you said in your word that every hoof, not one will be left behind. But you took them out in that first Exodus. We see Paul pouring his heart out in that second Exodus, Lord God, calling them out of Judaism, calling them out, Lord, to establish them in the faith of the Son of Man that was established in his heart. We see the same thing repeating back in this end time. Faithful messengers, the voice of many waters crying out in this end time, establishing us in the message brought unto us by our prophet. These things are real and true, Father. Lord God, may your Holy Spirit crystallize it. Make it plain. We know it will do that when we see how much we're willing to pour out our lives one for each other and consider you, Lord God, who has took us up and washed us and cleansed us and mold us and shape us and chip us. Yes, you beat us, Lord. Yes, Lord God, there are times, Lord God, when you fail us and you put the belt upon us. But we are saying thank you, Father. It has done us well. And we are glad, Lord God, that you have dealt with us this way. Otherwise, we will not be able to stand. And we commit ourselves and our lives into your hands. Have your way, Father. May your Spirit always have preeminence in this church. May your Spirit always have the victory in our hearts and lives as we yield and we give ourselves unto you, Lord God. With all our hearts, Lord God, we are saying, we believe, and we'll walk in this light, this beautiful light that you have shed in our pathway, Father. Heal our sick, raise our spiritual dead, bring back the backslidden, strengthen the weak, Lord God. Pour out the Holy Ghost upon us all, Lord. We could do it another portion. As we wage warfare against the enemy in this day. Grant it, Lord. And we'll hold each other's hands, Father. And we'll march on to victory. Sing an amazing grace. How sweet that song. That saved wretch like us. God, hear our cry. Every prayer is offered in this place even now, Lord. Every whisper, Lord, every heart that is beating unto you right now in this place, may you hear their cry and may you hear their prayer. And may the angel move to answer that prayer. And even though, Lord God, we may be dispersed from this physical building, yet, Lord God, let this church still be united. Let our hearts still beat one for each other. Let us lift ourselves into another place, Lord, where the church could function, Lord, and be effective, Lord, outside of physical walls. That, Lord, we could be a body. That, Lord, so subjected and yielded unto you, Father, that our entire sacrifice will be, as the message brought unto us this morning, a sweet Savor unto you, Father. Have your own way, Lord. As we commit ourselves into your hands now and ask your blessings, and ask your mercies, and pray, Lord God, that the same Spirit that is in this place go with us also. And keep our hearts and keep our minds meditating upon this word, Lord. For you said, then thou shalt have good success. We know that success will be fulfilling, Lord God, the word for this day, Father. Then, Lord God, let us go with that kind of a spirit. Let's keep our that prayer meeting going, Lord God. Let's all enter into our secret closet, Father. Let this word affect us so much, Lord God, that this church will be a praying church. Lord God, that this people be a people so saturated with prayer and love. But Lord God, the Spirit could move where maybe two or three is gathered. We believe that's the way it was in the book of Acts. That's the way it will be. Lord, for he said, the Alpha shall be the same as the Omega. Let it be, Father, as we give ourselves up unto you. Guide our steps. Fight our battles. Give us grace, give us discernment, that you could truly be and take your rightful place in our hearts and our lives until you come to change these vile old wretched bodies. We know not many days from now, Lord. Father, we get ready to go into a new year. That's just by time, Lord God, that we count things down, Lord. And we don't want to go in this year the same way we came in today, Lord. Because we feel the groaning of the Spirit. Then, Lord, you say, lead us, Lord, and we'll follow. Wheresoever you want to take us, whatsoever work you have before us, whatsoever, Lord God, where you'll want to lead us, we commit our hearts, we commit our lives, we commit our souls into your hands. Go with us, be with us, Lord. And I want to ask, Lord, for a special blessing upon your servant. As I stand here this day, Lord God, as he yields himself faithful to the calling, as he stands in the tower over this great responsibility you have given unto him, Lord, to this local assembly and to your bride around the world. Lord God, may your Holy Spirit that has led him thus this far, and whom he has confidence in as he professed out of his mouth, Lord, may you continue, Lord, to give him the life-giving revelation as he, Lord God, will not fail to declare unto us the whole counsel of God. Protect him, guide him, keep him. We behold his life night and day. Lord God, you give him abundance of revelation, and this year has been a hard year even for him in the flesh, Lord. But Father, he stands strong, Lord, and that gives us courage. That gives us hope. When I see Paul speaking to the church out of the scriptures and pouring his life out like that, Lord God, we too want to pour our lives out together with his, Lord. And I'm asking that your Holy Spirit garrison him. I don't know what trial, I don't know what testing, I don't know what the future holds for him, Lord, tomorrow, where you lead him, where your Spirit will take him. But oh God, I pray from the depths of my heart that you'll keep him, Lord, and help him to walk so sanely and intelligently in the Spirit and in such humility before your face, that the words that you've given to him, Lord, and the things that you'll reveal to him when he goes into the secret closet with you, Lord. And Lord God, you share with him the hidden secrets. That Lord God, in all humility and sincerity, that Lord, you'll give him the heart, the spirit, the love, the feeling for your people here and abroad, wherever you'll send him. That he'll walk so humbly and so softly before you. That Lord, he could be just a channel, just your Holy Spirit, just flow through, Lord God. And your bride could receive, Lord God, that which she has need of to stand in this day. Watch over him, Lord. We commit him into your hands. And I know, Lord God, He wants to see this church rise too. Every night of pleading prayer, every sweat, every word spoken in the pulpit and outside of the pulpit, in every gathering from 1,000 to just 2, I know, Lord God, is to see us come to a place as He points us not to Himself but to Christ, to walk in those bloody footprints, to see us come to a place where we can live that victorious life also, that He can present us as trophies unto You, Lord, as the fruits of His ministry. Oh God, bind our hearts together. Oh God, a cause that cannot be broken. Remember, Lord God, His labors of sacrifice. And may Your Spirit, I pray, so keep us together. Walk in this pilgrim pathway, Lord God, until You come to take us off the face of the earth. Lord God, as we walk, one day we hear Your voice. Say, well done, my good and faithful servants. We believe, Lord God, You have sent Him unto us. We believe every word that dropped from His lips. Lord God, and we follow Him as Paul tell that church. He said, follow Me as I follow Christ. Lord God, may Your Holy Spirit give us that heart, Lord God, to follow, Lord God. As I pray this morning from the depths of my heart, Lord God, not being a one that could pray, Lord, but just from the inside, I ask, Lord God, that You keep us together as we follow Your servant, our pastor, our brother that we love with all our hearts, until Lord God, that trumpet song and that lightning flash and that glorious morning break, and these bodies be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Until, Lord God, You take us away to set us at table where, oh God, You'll give us that great communion, where You'll wipe our tears away, where we eat the bread and drink of the fruit of the vine, where that scripture lay to be fulfilled, Lord God, in Your kingdom. Until that time, Lord, keep us walking one step at a time. Keep us walking. Keep our air attentive unto the cry of Your Spirit. Lord God, keep our feet walking Your word. Let our hands be for Your service. Let our lips be to praise You and glorify You and worship You. Let this body truly become a temple of the living God. Let this church be a place where the Spirit can be outpoured in His fullness. Lord, as Your servants sow in tears, may You also reap in joy. Let His eyes see His people rise to the challenge, Lord. I commit all into Your precious hands. Be with us. Go with us. In the precious and wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray for Your honor and for Your glory. Amen.
And may you have your seat. I'm just going to make an announcement concerning the Holiest Night service. You know, many times become Holiest Night is always like a pressure in the service and very difficult. Maybe sometimes you may not feel it, but you know, you have so much hitchhikers on Holiest Night, so much of people just coming, you know, to be in church because like a good luck omen or something, when they show up Holiest Night and turn a leaf. And then many times when they join the course of the service, you know, you find it's such a pressure because we try to come down to have the Lord's Supper break off the meeting, so as we approach midnight, we can come and we dedicate our lives to the Lord, and we do it as a
church, as a people that gather here and walk in this truth, and we know what we want to dedicate our lives to, and we know how God has dealt with us, and that is like something for us as a body of believers. However, when you have like a big mixed multitude, you know, it's different, it's difficult. And so I was thinking that if maybe we could begin, normally we announce 8:30, but if we could get in for and begin the meeting at 8, I think it will help us be a bit more relaxed, and you know, you don't have people coming in and then everybody come with a strange kind of New Year's expectation that they don't have the rest of the year, and when they really, really need to have it. So you get all kind of different people pulling here and pulling here, and you know, everybody's a spirit. And when you get a conglomeration of spirit, all having their own superstitious beliefs, having their own woke up expectations and these things, it's a kind of pressure when you're preaching, and when the service is going forth and the place is normally packed with people, and when you have people in the mother's room and they're crowded in there, it's only designed for sitting among the people. The toddler's room only designed for sitting among the people, and you have it overflowing with children, and they begin to get real uncomfortable, and it's a little lengthy, you know, it becomes very difficult. Sometimes you sit down in the seat, you're close to the fan, you may not feel the pressure other people might be feeling. And then, you know, we have the sins of Tobago as well coming over, and you know, that even adds to an overflow of itself with all the other set of visitors that we normally have. So I thought if we get in early, we just kind of relax. I mean, we are people that serve the Lord. This is our life. This is our goal. This is what we do. So this is our own church, not in somebody else's church. Come in early, get relaxed before the Lord. You know, and where in your heart and your mind, you know, you could be in the right frame of mind, and you're not rushed coming in, and you didn't get the seat you want, and you know, the ushers have a very difficult job that night trying to place people in. So we can come in early, we can have a little time of worship service before, then we have normal worship service. When we get to the world, we can have the message, and when we need to cut off, we can cut off smooth and nice. And with the frame of mind and the atmosphere we like to be in when we come to the Lord's table, we can be in that frame of mind. So we don't get ourselves doing things through convenience, through emergency, and through tradition, but we can approach the Lord's table, you know, with the real attitude and of spirit and the frame of mind that we'd like to be in. So I think that would be worthwhile, you know, and I try to explain that to you so that you feel that way. You want to get something more to the meeting. You want to really rise up and walk closer to God this coming year. You know, I know it would be appropriate, you know, if you would just take a little advice and try and get in early by the grace of God. So we'd like to start at 8, and so when we need to break down, we can kind of break down, because I mean, you get here to change over. Sometimes the service is a kind of high strung service. You don't want to run into the Lord's table in that kind of frame of mind. You want to kind of get change over where you can get there, because it's a different type of service from there on. You get the communion and feet washing. You want to be in the right attitude of spirit. So may God help us, and I hope that is not too much for you, and it don't throw you out. I don't believe it will, but we be able to come in 7:30, and we can begin at 8, so we can even get through earlier. If we start earlier, so we don't, because that among the people washing feet and, you know, and breaking bread, and you know, it takes quite some time when you're dealing with a size of crowd like this. So we try to even do it in 3 sections, you know, we normally do it. That cut down the time, but when you have a overflow of people, it still bring it back to what it normally is. So it takes quite some time. So please let us cooperate, and I know that the Lord will bless us. As much as we put into it, we'll get out in. And trust us, you really enjoy being here today, and you know, you feel encouraged to serve the Lord and move on by God's grace. Amen. We sing a song and get ready to go out.
I know a man who's like no other man. He gave his life to save. And Jesus, I love you so. How we should be able to sing this song with more grace and greater appreciation as what he means to us begins to become clearer, open up to us. And the more we see and the more our heart is filled with love for him, we want to express it back to him and truly worship him. That leper came back. He bowed down before him, weeping, and he worshiped him. The other 9 didn't come back. That woman who washed his feet with her tears, wiped his feet with her hair, and sacrificed and got the most expensive ointment to anoint him. She was just weeping and weeping. When she heard that voice says, "Thy sins, which are many, is forgiven thee." What a great thing it is to know him in the pardon of your sins. And then after you've been redeemed, to see that he's made us kings and priests. To see the great calling, the great place of service he has raised us up to. And I want you to know, oh, what you've done for me is not in vain. And I will stake my claim on your holy name. Oh, how I love. Oh, sing it again. Jesus, I love you so. I love you so. And I want you to know, oh, what you've done for me is not in vain. I will stay my claim on your holy name. Oh, how I love. Oh, I know a man. Man who's like no other man. Oh, he died to save this world from sin. And I'll dedicate my life. Would you do it? Dedicate my life to serving him. He died so I could live. Let him be the
this man in your life. He died. And I'll dedicate my life to serving him. He died so I can live. Of your grace, your sacrifice, oh, I can't embrace. Oh, what a gift you gave to me. loved thee because thou hast first loved me. Oh, I've seen your love in the sacrifice. Oh, sin took my place. Hear my judgment. Became me so I could become you. Oh, the chains of sin was taken off of me. The prison doors was opened. And you wrote in your blood pot. Oh, I love thee for wearing those cruel men blackened those tongues and made a crown and put it in thy brow, Lord. And humiliated you. Oh, if ever I loved him, you didn't retaliate. You boyed because of me. Your love held you to that tree because of me. Yes, I loved your life. Oh, God, and you had breath in my body. And so I loved you and served you, Lord. I loved you in death.
Love thee in death.